From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
The rainbow up high.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. We all know that the truth will set you free, but the question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? This is Stuart Altshuler, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and this is a show where every week we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which means the importance of examining body, mind, and spirit in the course of therapy, in the course of changing our lives, in the course of finding a place that is more peaceful, more balanced, and a place where we live in joy. So tonight, actually, my guest was going to be an old friend of mine that I recently reconnected with named Greg Casson, who's a motivational speaker and activist, an AIDS activist in particular. He's an artist, and he also is very involved with an organization and a retreat called AIDS Medicine and Miracles. And unfortunately, I just got off the phone with Greg, who could barely speak to me, has lost his voice. And not good for a motivational speaker, but he's hoping and promising me if his voice will do it, he'll be on the show next week, and we will talk about the workshop, and I do want to plug it because it's a very powerful retreat, whether you have HIV or AIDS or know people who do and are involved within the HIV AIDS, if you're HIV AIDS affected or infected. It's an incredible workshop about self-empowerment, and the next one's taking place the weekend of October 24th, 25th, and 26th in Pacific Grove, California, and there are scholarships still available, and as well as to those of you who can afford to go, if Greg's involved in it, and I've heard about this, I've had other friends who have been a part of AIDS Medicine and Miracles who as teachers as well as people going up there to attend the retreat who have always really experienced miracles from it. So I get to plug it 2 weeks in a row because hopefully Greg will be here with us next week. So if you've gotten my email announcement, if you're on that list and you're tuning in tonight because of the topic or to hear Greg, well, tune in again next week also. But along the lines of what Greg and I were going to be talking about, in my announcement I mentioned that tonight's show is actually to honor and is dedicated tonight to Louise Hay, who celebrated her 77th birthday last week. And she's a friend of mine since the late 80s when I moved to L.A. So I'm dedicating tonight's show to Louise, and I thought as long as Greg can't be with us tonight, we're going to talk about Louise's work, and her philosophy, which is very close to my own, and particularly about her first book, You Can Heal Your Life. And I know there are people out there listening who have heard of Louise Hay, who have read her book, who know her story. And if you have questions or if you want to talk about anything tonight, whether it's on this topic or anything else related to mental health, feel free to call in. You know that this is a live call-in show, and if you're in the Phoenix area, the local number is 480-874-1311. In Phoenix, that's 480-874-1311. Now, if you're listening via the Internet and outside the Phoenix area, anywhere in the country, and I know I have some listeners out there, I hope you'll call in, and the toll-free line is 1-888-437-7660. That's 1-888-437-7660. I want to start actually by telling my own story about how I first met Louise and how a lot of my own awareness and consciousness started opening up about metaphysics. As a psychotherapist, there are not a lot of therapists, as I've said many times, who will talk about spirituality, who will talk about God, higher power, deal with religious issues, if there's healing that needs to be done there. And I happen to be one of them. I believe that it's very important that if you're in therapy and you're just dealing with the intellectual side of things, if you're just going through just what's going on in your head and not what's going on physically for you, what's going on in your body, how your body's responding to these thoughts that you're having, to these beliefs that you live by, in terms of illness, in terms of discomfort, in terms of aches and pains, injuries, things like that. And if you're not getting the spiritual or higher thought connection, or lower thought connection for that matter, to what these thoughts and how the body is reacting, all of it is intertwined. There is no component that operates without the other. And so, like I've always said, the key is to become so consciously aware of how you operate, how your thoughts operate, what beliefs you live by, what thoughts are constantly dictating what's going on in your life and how your relationships are going, how you think as well as feel about yourself. The self-esteem issues also dictate what's going on in your relationships, what's going on career-wise, what's going on financially, what's going on with your health. All that stuff that you're carrying around consciously and subconsciously are impacting what's going on in your life. And so when I first moved to Los Angeles in 1986 from West Palm Beach, Florida, I was initially hired at a small hospital in West Covina Hospital, as a matter of fact, to work at a chemical dependency unit and to help them open an HIV/AIDS unit there at a time when not a lot of hospitals were even willing to deal with AIDS. Dr. James Lee and West Covina Hospital were actually groundbreaking in terms of their willingness to jump right on and start offering some real compassionate care for people with AIDS and HIV and their families. And that's part of where I came in, which as a therapist was able to work not just with the patient that was coming into the hospital, but also the visitors and the family, because it was such a new thing for everybody to be dealing with then. And very soon after I got here, I started attending some lectures in Hollywood with Marianne Williamson. This was 1986, when it was a very cozy group, and not too many people had heard of her yet, although her reputation was certainly building. And while I got encouraged to attend her lectures and really found Course in Miracles and Marianne in particular very inspiring, very encouraging, it just really woke me up to a lot of things. Somebody also said, Stuart, you got to go to this meeting that takes place on Wednesday nights called the Hayride. Of course, when people hear that, they think in terms of an actual hayride, you know, in a carriage drawn by a horse with a lot of hay on the back. But this is more tongue-in-cheek, because the woman who led this group is called Louise Hay, and the group had started in her living room about a year and a half, maybe 2 years before this, with some friends of hers who happened to be diagnosed very early on in the epidemic with HIV or with AIDS. And there was no support system at that point. If any of you know about this or can think back, if you think back to the mid-80s, everybody was still in such a state of terror and panic, and when you heard AIDS, you immediately thought, I'm going to die. I'll be dead within 6 months. In fact, the doctors were even saying this to a lot of people. You'll, you know, get your wills together, get your house in order, because you're probably not going to be around in six months. And while unfortunately that was the case with certain people, there was no accounting for why some were not dying right away and why some were dying rather quickly. And to me, that's neither here nor there. But what Louise had started was a place where people can talk about their fears and talk about moving through the fears and getting to a place where you're not accepting what the medical community is saying is gospel, and in a sense creating your own gospel, in a sense creating your own your own belief system. And the essence of her philosophy is learning to love yourself more. And if you learn to love yourself more, any healing is possible. Now, there are a lot of people through the years who actually, for many years, this group was meeting with Louise at the front, till about 19, for about 6 years or more, she facilitated this group. And at one point on Wednesday night, she had moved it to West Hollywood Park Auditorium, which was rather a large gymnasium-type auditorium. At one point on a Wednesday night, it was the place to be in West Hollywood. At 6 o'clock, there were 700 to 800 people showing up in this, and many of them themselves diagnosed with AIDS, mostly gay men, but not just gay men. There was, you know, women coming. There were family members showing up. And it was the place to go where people were accepted, not just for being gay, but for the diagnosis that they had. It was a place where people were taught that they could change their minds about how they feel about themselves, that they could move through the guilt, move through the shames, move past the belief systems that hold us all back, and move into a space that is more peaceful, that allows the body to access its own natural resources, because you're not struggling with all this negativity flowing through your system, through your mind. Now, this is the basis of metaphysics. We're going to continue talking about this when we come back from this break, and hopefully some of you will call in and discuss your experiences. This is Stuart Altshuler, and Tell the Truth Faster. Stay tuned.
Up high. That I heard of once in a month.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. And again, if you tuned in late and you're on my announcement list for topics and guests, my friend Greg Kasson couldn't be with us tonight. We were going to talk about a retreat and a lot of his experience with AIDS, medicine, and miracles. But he himself had no voice tonight. Laryngitis and a very bad case, who could barely call me to tell me he couldn't do it. So hopefully we'll be hearing from him next week, and a lot of people will hear from him next week. But tonight, along the lines of the topic we were going to talk about, and to honor Louise Hay's 77th birthday last week, we're talking about basically Louise Hay, metaphysics. You can heal your life. And I was talking about my experience with meeting her in 86 and the group called the Hayride, which was basically, as I was saying, a safe haven. It was one of the few places, if not one of the only places, if not the only place in Los Angeles at the time, where people with AIDS could go to get some support and to learn more about how to feel better about themselves, how to live better in the world, and not be hearing nothing but doom and gloom. And while there were people coming in looking the epitome of health who were infected and AIDS diagnosed, there were also people coming in with walkers and wheelchairs and IV poles and stuff. It was an amazing environment. And like I said, at its peak, there were like 800 people showing up on a Wednesday night. And it's still known worldwide. There are still people who come to L.A. looking for it. And basically, in 1990 or 91, she decided to move on to do some other things and was taking care of herself and asked me to take over the group. And while we are still meeting, it's certainly not as large, and it's a nice core group of about 12 people, which is basically about what she started with back in 86. And it's still just as powerful, which is why these people still attend. And the other part of it is a lot of people over the years started realizing that there's a lot of basis to a more positive way of thinking and healing themselves, and all of a sudden there were so many more options that Louise had pioneered getting away from the doom and gloom and thinking in terms of hope and living fully in the moment, no matter what's coming. So basically that's the transition. So I want to talk for a few minutes about some of the key points of Louise's philosophy. And if you deal with metaphysics in any form, whether it's science of mind, whether it's Sandra Ray's work, dealing with people like myself who do rebirthing, Course in Miracles, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, you know, the list goes on and on. But it's not like Louise invented metaphysics. I mean, it's something that's been around as long as man has been around, and women. But what Louise did in her first book, You Can Heal Your Life, which came out, I believe, in 1984, that's the copyright date on it, was actually put it in some very simple terms without having to read some thick, diatribe about, you know, higher power this and thou shalt this or not this and all that sort of stuff. She wrote it in some of the most plain and simple form that anybody could pick up, read, make sense out of, resonate with, and it's been translated, last I heard, probably 30-something different languages across the globe. So, quite simply, and again, you may take issue with some of these. The problem that, you know, some people started having after a while is, okay, if I'm loving myself more and more, which is the cornerstone, learn to love yourself as a way of healing yourself, you know, there are a lot of people that said, well, I'm learning to love myself more, how come I'm still getting sick, and how come my friends are still dying when they're doing the same thing? My own way of believing in this is, if we're learning to love ourselves as a way of learning to be more present in the moment, as a way of not living in the drama and traumas of our past, not projecting into the future, but if we're learning to love ourselves as a way of finding peace in the moment, to me, someone who achieves that can also have a body that may also be dying. Obviously all of our bodies are dying from the moment they're born, unless you're a physical immortalist. You believe and understand that. So if that's the case, I've seen people who have done this work on for themselves and done some amazing things and have been incredible teachers on their own journey and had the most amazing peaceful deaths. And to me, they were able to stay in the moment and stay in the lessons that they'd learned and embrace their light and graciously let go of the body when it was time. And to me, that's as an important aspect of this work as the people that I've seen also in the course of this work see miraculous physical healings go on, where doctors said you're going to be dead in 6 months, and then in 6 months they're back at the gym and they're back at work and they're doing some amazing things, and I've seen that, as many of us have. So, some points of Louise's philosophy, which actually is at the beginning of her book. And remember, feel free to call in and participate in this if you have some thoughts or comments or reactions to any of this. Number one, we are each 100% responsible for all of our experiences. We are each 100% responsible for all of our experiences. That's basic metaphysical principle. You know, what we think manifests, what we believe creates our reality. And so, you know, someone might say, well, you know, I got into this car accident and somebody came out of nowhere and hit me. It wasn't my fault. How could I, you know, how is that? How am I responsible for that? It may be the accident itself where you just weren't paying as much attention to your driving and may have been you allowed yourself to be distracted. Or the issue is that you are responsible for how you deal with that situation. Do you move into anger? Do you move into victimhood? Okay, so you're 100% responsible for how you deal with the situations you're facing, and 100% responsible for, this isn't a blame game, and this is one place where a lot of people sometimes misinterpret what Louise and other metaphysicians are teaching. This isn't about saying, this is your fault. And I've heard and experienced some of my own metaphysical teachers at times throw that in our faces, like, okay, this is your fault, what are you doing, in such a way as if to shame. And I never believe in doing that. This is about taking a look at how am I handling this, what did I not see coming, how can I see what thoughts and belief systems created the situations that led to something like this, and to use it as part of the learning curve as opposed to the blaming game. Okay, so that's really what this is about. When we're analyzing the thoughts and the beliefs, it's not to bring shame, it's not to bring blame, it's to actually help people see their own patterns and see the things that help contribute to their own unhappiness, not to move into the victimhood. Her next basic points of her philosophy: every thought we think is creating our future. Every thought we think is creating our future. And I talked a little bit about that in just the last few minutes, that our thoughts, negative or positive, help create what's going on today, and what's going on today helps us make choices and decisions that move us into our future. So if our thoughts are very positive and we're very clear and we're able to actually make choices and decisions today from a higher place, from a spiritual place, from a joyful place, it's helping to create our future. Even if life throws us some curves, so to speak, then, you know, what we're thinking today is creating a future that we're able to cope better with any challenges that come to us. If our thoughts are extremely negative all the time, then we're likely to end up in situations in our future as well as present time where we're unhappy, we're seeing ourselves as victims, where we're feeling hopeless. And so from a place of hopelessness, what kind of future do you think you're going to create? One that agrees with those beliefs and with those thoughts. Her next thing is, the point of power is always in the present moment. And again, you see how all of these things are interchangeable in the sense of they all rely on each other. The point of power is always in the present moment. When you're stuck in the past or projecting into the future, you're weak. When you're stuck in the past, when you're in the blame, when you're in the fear of, or the pain and the hurt and the anger of things that have already happened, you're weakening yourself today. When you're in the fear of what is going to happen, you're living in fear. And that's not a reality yet. None of that stuff has happened yet. And when you're living in the fear of it, you're weakening yourself today. And we're going to take another short break here and continue with some of these points of Louise's. And I invite you to stay tuned, to call in after the break if you like. And this is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The rainbow
waves. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and on this show we talk just about that, telling the truth faster, getting to the core of what's going on. It's the way I practice with myself, is the way I work with my clients, and this is the essence of what we're talking about here tonight, telling the truth faster. What are the thoughts, what are the beliefs that you live by that maybe you're not even aware of, or maybe you're so aware of that it scares you to look at because it feels so hopeless to even begin to make changes or deal with any of these issues? And we're talking basically about the basic teachings of Louise Hay, particularly her first book from 1984, You Can Heal Your Life. So I've been going through some of the points of her philosophy at the beginning of the book, and you know, the ones that I've gotten so far is we are each 100% responsible for our for all of our experiences. Every thought we think is creating our future. The point of power is always in the present moment. And her next one is everyone suffers from self-hatred and guilt. Okay, now that may sound like a pretty big statement to so you say, well, I don't feel guilty about anything. I don't hate myself. There is an element of that. I agree with her on that. There's an element of that in all of us. And whether it is an overriding, powerful thing that is really holding us back from anything good in our lives, or whether it's just an undercurrent of a few times when you just felt like, gee, you know, as a kid maybe you did something wrong, you got punished for it, or you didn't get caught for it, or stuff you've done as an adult or a teenager, there is some residue of that in all of us. But for many of us, including me, it's a bigger piece of the work that we have to do in ourselves than many of us would like to admit. And I've done a number of shows on self-esteem, which basically has to do with how we think and feel about ourselves, and how many people go into therapy basically because that is so low, that there's such a sense of self-hatred, self-critical thinking and guilt for mom or dad, you know, their judgment on us, or a teacher or relationship. And the bottom line, as Louise goes on to say, for everyone is, I'm not good enough. And again, I tend to agree, because it's a key belief and a key thought that many of us are taught from the moment we're born. And for some of us, it may be because they wanted a girl and we came out a boy. So now all of a sudden, even psychically, we're not good enough. It may be that we were compared to a brother or sister. Maybe because of the way things were graded in school. Maybe it's not because of one thing, but it's, you know, it's like basic psychology 101. How do you create behavior or change behavior? It's repetition over time, basic conditioning. So even that basic conditioning of I'm not good enough can come from so many different things over a long period of time, from so many different experiences that may have been mild, but when you think of how many mild situations there were, then they pile up for many of us. You know, or it may be some really big things, like, you know, being in a totally dysfunctional family with, you know, maybe alcoholic parents or abusive parents, where that message was given very clearly to you. Maybe because you were gay, maybe because, you know, you weren't athletic, maybe because you weren't academically up to the standards that they wanted for you. But I'm not good enough is a core belief. And it's important, as she goes on to say, is that it's only a thought, and a thought can be changed. And to me, that's the basis of metaphysics. It's only a thought, and a thought can be changed. In fact, that's basically the way the Course in Miracles defines a miracle: a change in perception, a shift in perception, a changing of the mind is the miracle. That you see a problem, and all of a sudden you see the healing. That's the miracle. And she goes on to say, resentment, criticism, and guilt are the most damaging patterns. We've talked about that. Releasing resentment will dissolve even cancer. And there are a lot of people who believe that things like tumors and cancers and a lot of illnesses are just a lot of dark thoughts and a lot of dark conditioning just bottled up and being held very tightly inside the body, where all of a sudden the cells go into agreement because it's such toxic stuff, toxic psychic stuff, that the cells can't deal with the toxic psychic stuff any longer, and tumors and cancers and illnesses come into play. And there are people who, like with the Wellness Center and a lot of other places, who use a lot of visualization work, a lot of affirmation work, as ways of trying to dissolve the cancer psychically, mentally. And there are a lot of healings that a lot of doctors have seen that they cannot explain medically. And again, it may be nothing more or less than the fact that if you're healing all of this negativity in your mind, if you're healing all of this fear and resentment and guilt and shame, and really coming to a place of peace, whether you want to believe that this is spiritually miraculous healings that are going on, or just the fact that when your body's not consumed with coping with all of this dark psychic stuff and emotional garbage, then it can access its own natural healing resources. Your own immune system can do its job, and all the other things that are naturally built into our bodies to heal illness, to fight off infections. Then maybe that's all it needs to be. That's all it needs to be called. It's just the fact that you're removing this demand inside you from having to cope with all of this dark, negative stuff, so that your body can do its job, and that the healings come from very, to me, that's a very medical way of looking at it. Your body's built to do a lot of this healing. How do we support its own healing processes? And dealing with all this negativity is one way, one of many. She also believes that when we really love ourselves, everything in our lives works. And again, when we really love ourselves, even our death can be something that works. It can be. I've been at bedsides, unfortunately, of just too many friends over the years, especially around HIV and AIDS. And I've seen friends struggle through those final hours and days, and I've seen friends just coast through it with just this glorious feeling and attitude, just surrendering to the journey, and actually more concerned about helping those around them be comfortable, and the room is just filled with light and love, even at the time of transition. It's just the most amazing thing for me, and these friends that have passed have been truly great teachers in my life because of it. It's helped me put a lot of perspective on things and to see what's possible. And that's what a big part of the meaning I believe she has when she says, when we really love ourselves, everything in our life works. Okay, doesn't mean we're not going to die, doesn't mean we may not get sick, but it's the fact that we work with it and coast with it and create something that works even in the midst of an illness or death. We must release the past and forgive everyone. And again, if you're dealing with letting go of resentments, criticism, fears, angers, and everything else, how else is that going to be done if you don't move into a space of forgiveness? Now, a lot of people get worried when I talk in therapy or at any time about, you know, forgive the parent that beat you or whatever. It doesn't mean you have to set yourself up to continue with those beatings. Forgiveness doesn't mean turning the other cheek and allow that one to be hit too. Forgiveness means finding a place that's neutral, a place that has some semblance of compassion to the pain that that abuser is in, and still taking care of yourself by creating the distance that's necessary so that you can get on with your life and not stay hooked into that dysfunctional, damaging, abusive system and cycle. Okay, so forgiveness does not mean continuing to endure insanity. But forgiveness to me means seeing something as insane and having a more neutral feeling, if not more compassion, towards another human being who happens to be in such pain that they would be that violent, that abusive, and then taking appropriate steps to take care of yourself in the process. And sometimes that means saying goodbye to mom or dad who continue to choose not to see what they're doing and the abuse that they're giving out, and that you've done what interventions you can do, and that you're moving on, because at some point, again, they are 100% responsible for their experience. Addiction or no addiction, there are people that see that and get sober. So you don't blame the alcohol, you don't blame the drugs, you don't blame whatever else. It's not about blaming anything else. It's about taking responsibility for what you're doing and getting the help you need and healing the process and healing the patterns. So we're going to come back with the last few of Louise's points that I think are worth listening to, even if you're not calling in. It's an important thing to maybe get a refresher on, or maybe hear this stuff and go out and get her book. So this is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The rainbow up high.
Welcome back to the final segment tonight of Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and since my friend and guest Greg Kasland was too ill to make it tonight to discuss AIDS, medicine, and miracles, I've been talking about Louise Hay in honor of her 77th birthday last week. And she's someone I've known for a number of years, and I know she's been an inspiration to many, and all over the world, as a matter of fact. Her book, You Can Hear Your Life, has been translated into, I don't know, probably about 30 different languages, and has been a bestseller in countries all over the world. So at the beginning of her book, she talks about points of her philosophy, which is a basic metaphysical philosophy here. And we were just talking about forgiveness, and that we must release the past and forgive everyone. And the next one was, we must be willing to begin to learn to love ourselves. And the key there is willing. We must be willing to begin to learn to love ourselves. Now, obviously, loving ourselves is the end result, but to start the work, there has to be a willingness and a conscious willingness. And sometimes people say, well, I'm willing. I'm willing to feel better. I'm willing to improve my life. And yet, why aren't you taking the steps? Why aren't you seeing a good therapist? Why aren't you attending workshops? Why aren't you reading the books that might give you the information that you need? The willingness is there. Or at least the desire is there, and desire is different from willingness. And I think it's very important that you get the difference there. Desire, we all have desire on a certain level to be happy, to be wealthy, to be healthy, to have healthy relationships, to enjoy life, to find peace, to feel joy. We all have that desire. I think it's a core thing, because all of us have experienced that. Even if it was just momentarily in the womb or shortly after birth for a while, before all the chaos started happening and before all the negative people, the negative things were being taught to us by the people around us, we have a memory of what that joy and what that bliss and peace and happiness is. It's a cellular memory for most of us. It may be one we have to dig deep to find, but it's there. So we all have the desire to return to that place, because there is a familiarity in all of us. But for years in our adult life, our childhood and stuff, we were taught, remember conditioning that I was just talking about, over time, we were taught to step away from that joy and that peace and that sense of safety in the world and start beginning to fear the things going on in our lives and around us. And so we start holding on to things as if this is all that's possible. It's hopeless to want anything else because we're never going to get it. So the first step is not to have a desire to love ourselves, but to be willing to begin to learn how to do it again. To be willing to begin to learn how to love ourselves again. It's in there. But what stops us? What's the resistance to the willingness? And for many people, it's that belief it's not possible. The belief that everything's hopeless, so why bother putting the effort into it? It's the willingness to begin to learn. That's all it takes, is just the willingness. Her next thing is self-approval and self-acceptance in the now are the key to positive changes. Well, if you get the gist of all this stuff, all of these statements are basically restating the same thing over and over again in different ways, but they're step by step. Self-approval and self-acceptance in the now are the key to positive changes. Okay? There's a book on the bestseller list right now called The Power of Now. And Ram Dass years ago wrote a book called Be Here Now. Everybody who does anything is about being in the here and now. Even therapy is about, you know, once you identify what these things are from your past, it's not about dwelling and living in it constantly the way some people do in therapy, you know, and some therapists will put up with that, you know. It's, you know, if this is my problem, this is why I've been victimized, and this is how I feel about it, and never move past it, you're living in the past. You're living in the terror of what was, and I don't minimize the fact that it may have been some real terror for you. But what does it serve you now to stay stuck in that? All it is continuing to give those individuals from your past the power that they had then because you were too small to think or do anything else. You're now the adult. That little kid inside of you needs a loving, compassionate adult, a nurturing parent that it can turn to, that he or she can turn to, so that it can move out of that and get on with their lives and to be that innocent being, that light being that you were born as, that I was born as, that we're all born as, to get back to it. But for you to consciously stay stuck in that space is really a sad thing. And it's keeping you from finding the true joy that you're looking for. Her positive thing on this one page is we create every so-called illness in our body. And again, if all this negativity is there, if all this fear is there, what do you think your body's going to do sooner or later with it? The body can handle just so much of it if you're in all this darkness, subconsciously or consciously. And the immune system can't function as easily. Migraine headaches, heart attacks, circulatory issues from the tension and stress are all things that contribute to every illness that we have. Okay? That's not to say there aren't germs floating around that we can pick up, you know, but it's how does your body deal with it? Why do some people get exposed to someone with cold and don't come down with cold and someone else is constantly sick all winter long? Think about it. So basically speaking, you know, we create every so-called illness in our body. What do we do with it? Now, those are Louise's basic points of her philosophy. And I really encourage any of you, it's such a simple book to read, and that's the beauty of it and why it's been so popular around the world is it's simple thoughts stated in simple ways with simple solutions. And the solutions, you know, a myriad of things from affirmations, from, you know, exercise to ways that she has in her book of identifying the beliefs that, you know, are subconscious to you. But to close tonight, I think it's also very, really, really important. I mean, there are very simple statements she makes throughout the book. And the very first one in chapter one, what I believe, the gateway to wisdom and knowledge are always open. And the first lesson in here is life is really very simple. What we give out, we get back. What we give out, we get back. Not a earth-shattering new thought for any of us. I realize that, okay? But something we need to remember. Something we need to be reminded of all the time. It's something I need to be reminded of very often. You know, what goes around comes around. What we give out, we get back. You know, you put out bad karma, it's going to come back to you, to haunt you. That do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Probably another 20 ways of saying the same thing. What we give out, we give back. So think about what it is you want in life, how you want to be treated by other people, and treat people that way. If you're angry, and you're coming across as angry, you give out a lot of anger, you're going to be getting a lot of defensive people taking care of themselves by giving you back that anger. And again, this is not about turning the other cheek and taking a lot of abuse from somebody. This is about healing yourself and healing the anger to the point where that's not what you're giving out anymore. It's not about being fake and phony. It's about doing what you need to do with the right therapist, with the right teachers, with the right guides, to heal these things that are causing you such pain, so that what you start giving out is love and compassion, an open heart, a sense of trust, a sense of caring, helping other people in any way you can, volunteering, feeling the joy that comes from getting out of your own victim stuff and reaching out to other people who need something, who need a kind word and a good guide themselves. To me, that's the most important thing we can do. So on that note, and with a happy birthday to Louise Hay and a get well to my friend Greg Casson, who hopefully will be with us next week, if you have any comments, you want to find out more about AIDS, medicine, and miracles, you can go to my website, tellthetruthfaster.com. You can email me there. You can get in touch with Greg or find out more about the website for AIDS, medicine, and miracles. And tune in next week, and we'll be back, and hopefully Greg will be with us. So have a good night. This is Stuart Altshuler.
That I heard of.